head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Even before the opening ceremonies, we've already got Olympic events taking place in Opetty. I had no idea until I woke up and saw the headline that U.S. men's soccer had already lost its first game to the host nation of France. There's not a lot of expectation for U.S. men's soccer in these Olympics. And no, it's not the same team that's supposed to be, theoretically, 2 years away and lots of prep away. Still needing a coach away from the World Cup. It's a much younger team, but still really neat for the U.S. men to qualify for the Olympics for the first time since 2008. But I didn't realize that we already had some events. Well, I realized there were already events going on before the opening ceremonies that always happens. I didn't realize there were some of these team events. So now I'm going to have to start paying attention. I'm going to have to see what's happening on Thursday, even before we get to our last show of the week. And then, of course, the opening ceremonies coming up on Friday from Paris. It's almost here, as is baseball's trade deadline, almost here. And coming up at the top of next hour, we actually have another guest from Los Angeles. So Michael Duarte joined us last night at that time to talk specifically about LA sports with the Dodgers and getting some reinforcements back to their pitching staff. Also about the Lakers and Bronny James and dad as a flag bearer for Team USA in the Olympics and kind of dotting the landscape in LA. But our guest from LA tonight is actually a national writer. He covers baseball for Fox Sports. And with that trade deadline looming, it feels almost overlooked or something. It doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of anticipation or that there could even be a whole lot of movement, but that's just my feel. I have no idea. And so we'll ask Rowan Kavner when he joins us an hour from now. Good to have you with us. Hope you survived your hump day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you posted questions for Ask Amy Anything on either of our social media sites, I did go back and answer a lot of them. Haven't quite gotten to all of them yet, but I did answer a bunch. And if there's not an answer on the Facebook page, well, it's because we answered the question here on the show. Ryan did a pretty good job. He's done now for the week, and Colton is back for a couple of shows. So we're not only getting set for baseball's trade deadline, also keeping our eyes on any of the trends that happen over the next week, because they could actually impact that deadline. But Team USA, preparation for the Olympics, and basketball, Kevin Durant was practicing. So that's neat, because who knows if he'll even have the opportunity to participate in the Olympics beyond this. So I really do want him to be healthy, not to mention he's a great asset and a fantastic player for the team. What else? In football, it's a free-for-all. We've got the last of the camps with all the veterans reporting and audio everywhere we turn an ear. All eyeballs and earballs on guys like Aaron Rodgers and Joe Burrow, partly because of the hair, and Jim Harbaugh with his first Chargers camp, and Lamar Jackson trying to come back from illness, but not lasting very long. And, well, cool revelation from Jonathan Taylor about Anthony Richardson. So there's some good stuff that we'll get to that we'll drop in on this edition of the show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Twix, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page as well. We're glad to connect with you always. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Another real, I would say, attractive interview today. A lot of people wanted to hear from Jordan Addison, the wide receiver for the Vikings that got arrested for DUI. And so you'll hear what he has to say as well. It's one of those nights when I need sports as a distraction. It was that kind of a day. And so I'm glad to have sports as a distraction, as a bit of entertainment. So if you're in that same place and you need some entertainment too, I hope we are here to provide. The Joe Burrow haircut has gotten plenty of play. And it's not just the cut, it's the color. I totally get it. A girl who gets a cut in a color, we just feel fantastic, like $1 million, like a brand new Chica sometimes. That's me anyway. And so maybe that's the case for Joe Burrow as well. But I thought it would be fun to play off of Joe Burrow. And if he's your answer, well, that says something about you. Who has the best hair in sports? The best hair. We're not going to rip people for their hair because that's low brow and low class and also not necessary. It's funny because my husband and I have had the conversation about hair and haircuts, and he tells me that he loves my hair, which is great. But if he didn't love my hair, but I still loved my hair, I don't know that I would change it. I think hair is rather personal. And while I do, of course, want him to think that I look good and think that I am attractive, including my hair, yeah, it's just as important, more important for me to like it, for me to be happy with it, and for it to be a hairstyle that not only am I comfortable with, it fits my lifestyle. And so it's definitely a personal choice. When he says he wants to get his hair cut or when he decides he wants to do something with his hair, great. I can either like it or not, but mostly I just want him to be happy. It's not important for me to tell him what I think of his hair unless he asks me. In this case, we're going to let people have their own personal choices. We're not going to talk about the worst hair in sports. We're going to talk about the best hair in sports. I'll start. Trevor Lawrence has got some pretty good hair. I suppose you could add broadcasters to that mix if you want, but you know there are some broadcasters out there. It's not actually their hair. I'm not going to name any names, but it's not actually their hair. And funny because it seems to grow from year to year. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to zip it right now. Zip it emoji. And so for fun, best hair in sports. I suppose if you wanted to, you could include Brian Daboll. He might have one or two hairs. So on Twix at A-Law Radio, see if I can put a spot up. And then also on our Facebook page, easy stuff. We're going to hand out compliments on this edition of the show. Why not? I like what we heard from Kyle Shanahan of the Niners. Speaking of compliments, I believe he probably echoes what many people around the NFL think when he talks about Bill Belichick. But I had no idea until these last 24 hours that Kyle Shanahan had tried to give Belichick a job.
I threw it out to him he loves football so much that you never know what he would, I can't believe that he's not a head coach of a team right now. I know what I would do if I was an owner. So that shocks me. And the last thing you want to do is insult someone like Bill Belichick. But I know he just loves ball in the simplest form. Threw it all out to him, like whatever he'd want to
DC?
Do. Yeah. I was like, would you be interested? And he was very nice and appreciative, but he politely turned me down.
might be my favorite story of the last 24 hours. Aside from the reaction to Joe Burrow's hair. Not the first time, by the way. There are other photos of him as a blondie. He's feeling confident, too. I think it's the hair. When you hear him talk about himself, and of course he's been cleared for contact and cleared to resume practice after that wrist surgery late last year. Remember, he had some torn tendons. He's feeling good, and I think the hair might have something to do with it. But with Joe Burrow aside, that has got to be my favorite revelation of the first few days of NFL training camp, that Kyle Shanahan offered Bill Belichick a job. And that comes from the TK show. Yes. Could you imagine? I really wish Belichick had taken it. Not that he needs it. And maybe it would have been weird for him to take orders from Kyle Shanahan. But you know they have a good relationship. Going back to the trade that sent Jimmy Garoppolo from the Patriots to the San Francisco 49ers. The details may be fuzzy to you, so just as a reminder, Garoppolo was likely to walk at the end of that season. He was done with his rookie contract. Tom Brady was not retiring or even ready to leave at that point. And Belichick was either going to lose Garoppolo for nothing or he was going to have to trade him. And he waited until the last second. He waited and he waited and he waited. But it became obvious that Brady was still dug in. And so he reached out. I'm sure there would have been other teams that were interested, but he reached out to Kyle Shanahan and the Niners and asked him if he wanted him. The Niners were at a place where they did not have a quarterback. It was a mess. It was, gosh, was it the end of year two maybe with the Niners, with Shanahan with the Niners? And they were trying to overhaul their quarterbacks and find the one that fit their system, and Belichick did Shanahan a solid and traded him Garoppolo. Now, I get it. You may have a different opinion of Garoppolo now, but at the time, it offered some stability at quarterback as long as he was on the field, which, of course, that was always the major issue. But he was a winning quarterback when he was active for the Niners. But more to the point is just that Shanahan and Belichick have a relationship. It's one of mutual respect. It's a friendship. And so I'm not surprised that Kyle Shanahan offered him a job. And I wish that we could have seen it. It would have been tremendous. And remember, last year, the Niners defense fell off at the end, too. Steve Wilks, a lot of criticism for him. Maybe they were a Bill Belichick coordinator position away from winning another Super Bowl. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll hear more from San Francisco and the Niners, but how about San Francisco Giants trying to avoid a sweep at the hands of the Los Angeles Dodgers? And this one was heavily on the side of San Fran. Exactly what they needed. A pitching performance that would really limit, severely limit the Dodgers. Because right now, even as the Dodgers believe they've got reinforcements to their pitching staff. So Tyler Glasnow, he returned tonight to the starting rotation and went through five innings, gave up a couple runs and walked four guys. So still is going to have to work to find that zone again. But the Giants, even though they gave up the first run of the game, actually had a no-hitter deep into this one. And it was a nice welcome back for Robbie Ray.
It was a lot of fun. You know, it's 16 months since the last time I've been on the mound in a big league ballpark. So it definitely was a long journey. But definitely very thankful and excited to be back out there today.
2-2 the count to Ohtani. Two down, nobody on. Ray into his windup. He throws. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. A high fastball exploding up and out of the zone on the inside at 96 miles an hour.
Well, how about that? Robbie Ray returning from his Tommy John surgery and was able to get through five hitless innings in his San Francisco debut. He also got plenty of run support. Matt Chapman homered, and the Giants manhandled the Dodgers 8-3. And it wasn't until the seventh inning the Dodgers were able to get a hit.
Let's get a cowboy hat presented by Chevrolet, sfgiants.com/country. Here's a liner into right center field, and that's a base hit. Hustling over Ramos, cuts it off, spins around, throws back towards second. It's going to be late. And there's the first hit of the game for the Dodgers. A two-out double by Chris Taylor, who was not waiting around, went after the very first pitch from Tyler Rogers. And it wasn't the pitch that Tyler wanted to make.
Unfortunately for Chris Taylor, he actually left the game right after that hit and ended up with some type of a groin injury, according to the Dodgers. And so while they get Tyler Glass now back, he had missed a couple of weeks, I think, with some back pain. There was a little bit of rust there, and the Giants were able to take advantage and avoid a sweep. Now, are the Giants going to be sellers at the trade deadline? Are they going to stay in the race? And that's the big question about the National League. And you could really ask that about the majority of teams in the National League outside of those division leaders. Because right now, it's the Braves, the Mets, the Cardinals, and the Padres, actually. So there's four teams right now for the three spots, which, of course, wouldn't happen if this was end of September. But Cardinals and Padres are tied for that third wild card spot. It's Braves, Mets, and then the Cards and Pods. But the Diamondbacks are only a half game out. The Pirates are just one game out of that third wild card. The Reds and the Giants and the Cubs are all within five games of that third wild card. So this next week could be critical if a team continues to surge, like, say, the Rangers. Well, then maybe changing its mind about whether or not it will be a seller at the deadline. So this is a critical stretch for a bunch of teams as they try to make decisions before the end of July. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And speaking of those Mets, not only are they above 500, but able to sweep the Yankees in their Subway Series, adding to the Yankees' miserable month plus. Oh yeah, if you take away the games that they've beaten the Yanks, the Mets are back to 500. But yeah, because the National League is mediocre this season, outside of a few teams, the Mets and the Braves are your top wild card teams. Man, at the beginning of the season, a month into the season, you want to talk about blowing it up. That was really the conversation around the Mets and what a disaster the team was for Steve Cohen, the relatively new owner. So we'll talk Subway Series and Yankees still trying to figure out what in the Sam Hill is going on. And then lots of football. Eek! Plus, did you hear the twist in the plot when it comes to the NBA TV rights? It's like a soap opera. Glad to have you with us. Hope your Wednesday was terrific. Wait until I tell you, well, I've told you this before, why I can't use AirPods, whatever. I can't use the little cordless ear pods that don't stay in my ear, but the latest takes the cake. I now and then will wear them in my house thinking I'm relatively safe. I can't wear them running or outside or anything because they fall out. But yeah, I always think, well, at least if it's in the house, I drop it, I pick it up, no biggie. Yeah. Only me. Wait until you hear where the ear pod ended up. And no, it wasn't the toilet. Oh, goodness. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. the hands of their crosstown rival, the New York Mets, who are the better team over the last couple months. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's Howie Rose on the Mets radio network. Francisco Lindor with 5 RBI on a pair of home runs. He goes 3 for 6, and a lot of different guys were able to tee off on Gerrit Cole, the starter for the Yankees. Let's see. He goes into the sixth, but allows 6 runs on 8 hits, a couple of walks in there as well. And yeah, they were able to find what they wanted against Gerrit Cole.
He's elite. He's one of the best pitchers in the game. And we created great plans. The coaches created great plans, and everybody had a good approach, plan and approach, and we executed. You know, it's just baseball. Sometimes you win some, you lose.
Yes, you win some, you lose some. But if you're the Mets right now, you've won them all against the Yankees in 2024. That's Lindor on SNY. So here are the Yankees who continue to scuffle, and it's not just the Mets. Over the last month plus, they don't even have 10 wins. I think it's 9-22 now over this last stretch. And Aaron Boone continues to insist that they're right there, they're super close, but it's got to be frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, we expect, nobody has higher expectations than us in that freaking room. And we understand that, you know, we're pissed off. We got to play better. You know, this has gone on long enough. And, you know, it's very frustrating to go through. But I also know we're competing our asses off.
Well, there's that. Yeah, June 15th is really the line of demarcation. And these two teams are going in opposite directions, as is evidenced by the Mets' climb in the wild card standings. Now, the Yankees still have 60 wins because of their torrid start, but before June 15th, they were one of the best teams in baseball. Since June 15th, they have the second worst record in baseball. By the way, the Mets have the best record in the majors since that same June 15th. So you've got Mets and Yankees going in opposite directions, but because of the American League East, how it's set up, and because the Yankees had such a healthy head start, I mean, they're still only a game and a half out of the East crown, well, the East lead, which is right now the Orioles, but have the same number of wins as the O's. So it's kind of crazy. Now, the Orioles themselves have scuffled. They've lost 7 of their last 10. They've had their issues. But for the Yankees, just flat out bad. And honestly, sometimes it's the pitching. A lot of times it's the pitching. Sometimes it's the hitting, other than Aaron Judge. But even when they walk him, 4 times he was on base last night, and he was stranded all 4 times. There's just not been enough support. There's not been enough coming from the rest of that lineup. But what about from the player's perspective? Juan Soto on how things have changed since June 15th.
He's just a tough spot. You know, he's just in season, it's going to happen where you're going to have up and downs. But we have to try to find a way to get out of the downs and try to go back up, you know. I think that's what has been tough to us, to try to get out of there and just keep moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to go back to the ballpark and work on it again tomorrow and hope that you can turn the ship around. Again, it's not as though they've lost anything other than the division lead, but there's still so much real estate and games against the Orioles to go. It's just crazy how it happened. The pitching got the reinforcement of Gerrit Cole back, but it really wasn't as much about the pitching being so terrific, though. They did have a pretty good ERA those first few months of the season. Since then, it's gotten to the point where it's nearly 7, believe it or not, the last I knew, which is one of the worst in Major League Baseball. It's really a tale of two, well, I would say a tale of two cities, a tale of two teams. And sometimes you just can't explain what happens over the course of a long season, and the baseball season is the lengthiest. Over the course of all that time, guys have ups and downs. And sure, the mental plays a part, the pressure, the intense scrutiny, the nonstop questions. But you are professional athletes, and in New York, that's pretty much the case all the time. I don't know that it's changed a whole lot. Guys put pressure on themselves. There have been a handful of injuries, but for the most part, it's more about ineptitude, not injuries. And it's unfortunate because Aaron Judge is having yet another season in which you'll hear the phrase Triple Crown or MVP associated with his name. Not that he wouldn't trade all of that for a trip to the World Series. So Major League Baseball, again, heading toward the trade deadline. You wonder which teams will be the most active. I hope there's some activity bubbling just beneath the surface, because right now there's not been a whole lot. But we'll talk trade deadline prep, buyers, sellers. Oh, where's the pitching? That's always a big question around the trade deadline. When Rowan Kavner joins us from Los Angeles and Fox Sports coming up at the top of the hour. Looking forward to that. Got a post up on Twix, A-Law Radio. I'll put it up on our Facebook page as well. But in honor of Joe Burrow, who has the best hair in sports? And of course, broadcasters are included. I came up with a new hashtag. Have you guys heard beach hair don't care? Maybe it's a girl thing, but there are some females who are listening. Beach hair don't care. Well, I've decided football hair don't care. You go, Joe Burrow. So we'll retweet your answers about the best hair in sports. I'm going Trevor Lawrence. We've got Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Kevin for variety. It's hard to top Dennis Rodman. Some of you are going former player with Troy Polamalu. Oh, yeah. Speaking of Troy and the Pittsburgh Steelers, got our first Mike Tomlin-isms. Actually, just the Mike Tomlin humor to start the season. And Russell Wilson. Oh my gosh, he's someone else's challenge now. Three teams in 4 years. Would you have ever thought that would be Russell Wilson's plight to wrap up his career? It's not even done. There could be more. But this massive contract, the Steelers were willing to take it on, kind of. And the Broncos would have done anything to get rid of it. Plus Jim Harbaugh. He's treating his first day of training camp like it's a holiday. He might be right on that list with Dan Campbell and Mike Tomlin as best quotes in the NFL. Glad to have him back in the pro ranks again. He is highly animated. So best hair in sports. At A-Law Radio, I'll get a post up on our Facebook page. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Wednesday night. Scooching into a Thursday morning. That feels a whole lot like it's almost the weekend. This brings back memories, both in the distant past and more recent past. This was one of the songs, Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody, that was on our must playlist at the reception. And boy, did we have fun singing it. Now, it wasn't just my husband and I. It was a big group that was around us. We're all standing in a circle. It was amazing. So one of my favorite memories from the wedding reception. It's kind of funny. I have a little cousin who just turned 16 on Wednesday. Happy birthday, Trinity. And she got her driver's license. And she and her mom, as well as my uncle, made it to the wedding from Wisconsin. So this is Wisconsin, part of the family. And she's relatively shy at times. And as you can imagine, a 16-year-old, I think she was, well, there was one toddler at the wedding, but otherwise she was the youngest adult at the wedding. And she was a little bit intimidated, but got out on the dance floor. And so it was her birthday on Wednesday. And I wanted to send her a few pictures from the reception itself. So the way that we've done our wedding photo album, I managed, it was happening literally the day that we left for our honeymoon. I managed to get all the wedding photos from the actual ceremony and then the photo session afterwards, both the formal as well as just my husband and I outside on the farm where we were. managed to get the wedding photos done and pick the ones that I wanted and put them into a photo album, make an online link and send it out to family and friends. So I felt pretty good about that. But then there's another, 500 to 600 photos from the reception that I haven't had a chance to go through yet. And we do have them saved, of course, but I haven't had a chance to organize them yet. However, I wanted to find a few where she was out on the dance floor just because she looked so cute. And so I went through the reception photos on Wednesday evening for just a couple of minutes to find the ones with her in it. And I came across, it's very clear what song we're dancing to, the photos from that number, Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody. It was one of the last big numbers that we did, and it was just awesome. So brought back some good memories. At some point, I swear to you, I'm working on a blog post. It's got a particular theme for July that will have a few wedding photos. I would tell you I'm halfway through, but that's probably not accurate. I'm working on it. As I say, it has a particular theme. It's not just wedding photos. There's a reason why I'm writing it in July. And so at some point, I'll be able to share a few of those with you because you all were so kind to ask. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So we had just talked about this story last week. The NBA has still been in this negotiating phase, if you will, or the negotiating window with the various potential rights holders, both current but also new potential rights holders. And what we had found out last week is that Warner Brothers Discovery was willing to match the offer from Amazon Prime. All right, so WBD, as it's labeled, but Warner Brothers, which is TNT, had 5 days to match this deal that was first offered. It really is a joint deal, but it came down to the new portion of it being Amazon Prime. And so it would be Disney, which is ESPN, ABC. It would be NBC, and then it would be Amazon Prime for 11 years. But Warner Brothers ended up matching, or at least offering to match, and wanted to exercise its right to match the Amazon Prime portion, and in doing so, keep the rights to broadcast NBA games. And I don't think it's necessary really to go into all the details. It's convoluted, and it's, I don't know, just not all that interesting, I would say. But as it turns out, according to the NBA, the offer that Warner Brothers made, or the offer to match, was not considered a true match by the league. If you want to read more about it, feel free. All of that to say, the NBA rejected the Warner Brothers offer and the Warner Brothers match, which they decided wasn't a true match. It sounds so stupid, doesn't it? When they decided it wasn't what Amazon had offered. And so in 24-25, we'll see the last of TNT carrying NBA games after nearly 40 years. Now, there is expected to be a legal challenge. And according to Warner Brothers / TNT, that company and its legal team, its executives, believe the NBA has to accept its matching offer. All right, so the courts are going to decide whether or not the offer is truly a match. And if it is, does the language in the contract mean that as long as Warner Brothers offers the match, the NBA has to accept their offer? Here's an example, or a way to think about it. When athletes are restricted free agents, so not unrestricted, but restricted free agents, in some cases, what that means is while their agents can go out and look for a new offer from a different team, ultimately, the team that the athlete currently plays for has the right to match. And this is what Warner Brothers is saying, if that team matches the offer that's on the table, the athlete has to return to the team that matched the offer. So has to return to the team that it's already playing for, he or she are already playing for. So that's what it means to be a restricted free agent. When you're unrestricted, you can do whatever you want. When you're restricted, your current team can decide to keep you by matching the highest offer on the table. So it's an opportunity for free agents to make more money, but ultimately they don't have the control over whether or not they stay or go. And that's kind of what Warner Brothers is saying. We believe that the contract we have allows us to match any offer. And if we do, well, then we get to keep the rights. Here's the thing. The NBA wants to move to Amazon. They want to move to Amazon. So they're going to look for a way to get out of any matching or qualifying offer from Warner Brothers. Why do they want streaming? Well, because it opens up a whole new world. Number one, there are billions and billions of dollars in streaming. And right now, while some of the leagues have tapped into that revenue, have tapped into that income, they're just scratching the surface. So you establish a relationship with Amazon. Not only could you potentially expand your footprint with Amazon itself, but you also could attract competition from other streaming sources like the NFL has done, starting out with Amazon, but now having Peacock and YouTube TV and Netflix. Wait, it's Netflix, right? That's doing, no. What's the other streaming partner? It is Netflix. Okay, so you've got all kinds of different streaming services that could potentially throw their hat into the ring if it works out with the NBA and Amazon. But mostly, and this is what Adam Silver said in a statement that he released, there's no need to read between the lines, Prime Video's massive subscriber base will dramatically expand our ability to reach our fans in new and innovative ways. Translate, our younger fans, they think. Now, I have Amazon Prime. I don't love watching sports on it only because I can't then change the channels very quickly. That's the annoying part. But I do have it in large part because of Thursday night NFL. Either way, Adam Silver's not being cryptic there. He's being completely honest. We want Prime Video's massive subscriber base. More and more people are jumping off the cable bandwagon. In fact, so fast they're breaking legs. I'm one of the old dinosaurs. I had a landline phone in my home until about three, four months ago. And I still have cable TV. Oh, and I still have an iPod Nano. It's orange. It's so cute. Colton is shaking his head at me. What? I'm not going to get rid of it. It's got all my favorite music on it. It's got thousands of songs on it, Colton. Why would I get rid of it?
You got Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music.
I do have Spotify on my phone. Yes, but I do like my little iPod Nano. It's easy to carry. It fits in a pocket. I don't have to worry about...
Well, it sounds like something else you have to carry. Your phone fits in your pocket too, Amy.
Right, but my phone, I don't have unlimited data on my phone. And so I do use Spotify, but I usually mostly use Spotify on Wi-Fi, and then I use my iPhone when I'm out running. But either way, I like it. It's got a ton of music on it. I don't have any other Apple devices. It's the only one. I will never have any other Apple devices. I suppose I should never say never. I do not like Apple. I prefer Samsung. I prefer Galaxy. I prefer HP or, you know, non-Apple laptops. Anyway, so I am the dinosaur that doesn't, that hasn't completely converted to streaming, but a lot of people have. And so the NBA doesn't actually want to accept Warner Brothers. They don't actually want to be on TNT. But still, TNT Sports is saying we've matched the Amazon offer as we have a contractual right to do. We do not believe the NBA can reject it. Now, coming up on tomorrow night's show, we'll welcome a sports media insider, and we'll kind of work through some of these things, plus a brand new deal for the WNBA in broadcasting as well, though some people believe they should have gotten more. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.